It's a big week because the young folks go back to school. And a few have already begun. They began the last part of last week. But most, probably, at least of the younger ones, are starting Monday. Some going to new schools, probably all of them having new teachers, perhaps meeting new classmates and having new friends and things such as this, and so it's an exciting time. And so I thought it would be good for us this morning to talk about being ready to go to school. And I suspect the young folks here, perhaps with the parents, have gone out. Some, maybe all, have bought school clothes and supplies. They've enrolled in school, gone to orientations, been talking to friends, finding out who's in their class and who's not, and learning where their locker is. For some, that took longer than others. And so this morning, I want to have a lesson in particular for the young folks who are going back to school and to remind them of some things that are very important, not of the physical things, but the spiritual things this morning. First of all, I want to ask the young folks, have you prepared your mind? Are you ready mentally and spiritually to go back to school? Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Matthew chapter 15. And I want us to notice the importance of having our minds prepared. And for those of you who are not going back to school, those of you who are done with school, these are very good things for you to remember and to think about also as you go about your day-to-day activities. Beginning in verse 16, Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also?" Now, I began reading with this verse. I could have started in verse 17 to get the point across this morning, but I want us all to realize that we must understand this. And I hope that you're not tuning me out or turning me off because you said, "I've thought about this before. I've studied about this before." But we need to be reminded of it, and you need to understand this morning. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. Now I want us to understand this. That if your heart is not right this morning, and if your heart is not right as you go to school and you begin a brand new year, then you are going to defile yourself with sin. We'll talk about some particulars here as we go. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And perhaps this is the most difficult thing of all those things that we do, is to try to keep our thoughts what they ought to be. It's a good thing if we can control the physical and the things that we're doing physically, but to control the mind and to control the thoughts, to me, seems to be the greatest challenge of all. Very commendable when an evil thought comes into your mind, you remove that and you replace it with something else. But not even to allow it to get there in the beginning is even more difficult. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to notice that it is important to prepare. I'm reminded of football. Preseason football is now going on. Perhaps some of you have tuned into that. And when it comes to sports, and really when it comes to any other activity, being prepared is crucial. What happens to a football team if they're not prepared to play the game? When we go and watch two teams compete against each other, And all things being pretty much equal, which team wins? The one that is best prepared. When we go to the Super Bowl, and they're usually, those teams are for that year, are supposed to be the best teams. Which one wins the Super Bowl? The one that is most prepared. And young folks, let's understand this. You must be prepared mentally and spiritually to meet your first day at school so that you are not run over by those sinful things that will confront you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Young people, maybe you've not thought about this yet, but there's still time to think about it. Are you prepared for action? And what is that action? I'm not talking about sitting and learning your lesson and taking notes and going home and doing your homework and studying your notes and taking a quiz the next day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being prepared spiritually, because your soul and going to heaven is more valuable than any of the book learning you're going to do. You can go to school and you can get straight A's, but if in the process, if you lose your soul, what good are all those A's going to do you? Don't get me wrong, I think A's are a good thing. Let's say you're in the middle of this school year and you're performing perfectly as far as your grades go, but if something happens and you die and you lose your life and you go to hell, what good did any of that schooling do you? None. And so you must be prepared for action, and that is serving God faithfully and sometimes in the midst of all sorts of perversion and sin that is going on around you. I was talking to some of the young people here not long ago. I asked, how many Christians are in your school? And counting Christians for what Christians really are, not in the secular religious sense that it's used, in this high school of four grades, there are four Christians. That means most of the interaction you're going to have throughout the day are those who are not living faithfully to God, and you must be ready to take action because you're going to be outnumbered most of the time. Keep sober in spirit. Be prepared, young folks, not to be carried away with the fancifulness of lust and sin, of what everyone else is doing and what all of the crowd is doing. Be prepared to do the right thing and to stand firm in that and not to waver at all. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, how many times are you in school and you're thinking about going to heaven? How many times are you in school realizing before the bell sounds for the end of the day and before you go home and see your parents again, the Lord can come and that is the end of all of His creation? Be sober and be diligent and keep your mind fixed upon the important things as you think about the things you're doing at school. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, young folks, how often do you think about yourself at school and the fact that you are holy? That you have been cleansed and washed with the blood of Jesus Christ and you are sanctified, you're holy, set apart for spiritual service to God, even going to school and doing your studies and taking your tests and doing your homework. There is a greater purpose in life than learning the ABCs and how to add and divide and subtract and learning physics and all the things that you learn. You have a greater calling in life, and that is to serve God in holiness. And are you thinking about that as you prepare to enter into the jungle of school again, where sin is all around? Perhaps you've had a reprieve from that this summer. I hope you have. But now you're going back into it, where the influences are strong and great and mighty, and you've got to be strong to overcome those things. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and this was our Bible reading, and not to take a great deal of time in talking about this scripture. But I want us to just notice a few things. By the way, Chris and I have been working on the Bible drill. We want to start that again, hopefully maybe the middle of September. We want to have maybe 6 or 8 lessons, and then we want to stop for the holidays. But this scripture is what we're talking about using for that. And I want you to notice a few things as we've read it already today. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Now, young folks, are you prepared, ready? Have you thought about your schedule to include God? You know, reading the Bible, I was talking to someone the other day. Reading the Bible is like giving yourself a shot. It's like giving yourself a booster shot. It energizes you. It makes you strong spiritually. And have you thought about including God in your studies? Because you need this strength and this energy. You need this booster shot. If you don't read the Bible, to think about the Bible every day. Look at verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And when we do that, the divine power of God is at work in your life. But you know what? Listen to me. You've got to pick up the Bible. And you can't do it just when mother and father say do it. You can't do it just when it's time to get your Bible class ready. Whatever works for you and your schedule, it would not be a bad thing whether you actually pick it up or you have memorized some verses and you think about them every day before you go back to fight once again for your soul amongst this wicked generation as you go to school. Because I want to tell you something. The devil, who's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is trying to get you every day. He just doesn't work on the weekends. Monday through Friday, he is at work also. Look at verse 4. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And that is to be like God, to be holy, as we talked about from 1 Peter chapter 1, and to be godly. Are you prepared to do that? Do you have your plan of attack in place? And then, as we already read, verse 5 and verse 10, we have to be diligent. We have to work hard at this. Hey, you work hard at school. You work hard at school. And you know, we've got a gospel meeting coming up, Sunday through Friday. And I know you're going to have to work hard, and I know that some of you are going to be up at 10, 11, 12 o'clock studying, because you've got to get your studies in. You work hard. But you have to work harder regarding your spiritual life. And then you remember verses 5 through 8. What do you need to be doing? Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence or virtue, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And Peter goes on to say, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. That doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake. That means you'll never fall in the ditch where you can't get up and correct your life and be faithful to God. And you need these things as you're starting another year of school. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 6, because I want to communicate it like this. We recently studied in our Wednesday night class about the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. And I don't want to go through all of this in great detail, but I want you to remember what we studied. And let me ask you this. Have you put on your armor? Well, you say, I never took it off. Well, that's a good answer. But I want to talk about this in a figurative sense. You're going back into the jungle after your reprieve for the summer. Have you put on that armor to go in there and to fight those battles? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, I want to remind you of this right now. It's not a question of can you do this. That's not the question. Not one bit. The question is, will you do the things God has commanded you to do so that you are strong in the might of God? In other words, that God's strength and might will be at work in you as you go to school. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Or your translation may say wiles of the devil. These are the tricks and the deceptions that Satan uses in the world to try to deceive you into believing the wrong things and to sin. And they're going to be at school. And they're going to be everywhere at school. Are you prepared? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Are you ready to fight that battle at school? And then the apostle talks about this armor: truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you a faithful Christian using God's word to prayerfully direct your life, studying, praying, preparing your mind? Are you doing that? Are you ready? Monday comes tomorrow, but it's not too late to get ready. Let me speak in this way, in a figurative sense. Have you decided when you go to school to take God with you? You'll say, well, God is everywhere. God is at school. I understand that. But think about this for a second. As you get ready tomorrow morning to leave your house, maybe you have a lunch, maybe you have a book bag, whatever it is, are you taking God with you? Are you taking Jesus with you? Or in your mind, does God sort of stay home? That's where my Bible is. That's where my Bible class book is. That's where my parents are. God stays home. I go to school. When I come back, well, then I'll be with God again. What is your thinking with that? What is your thinking? Are you taking God? Let me mention a few tips for you. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, I want to mention this. Young folks, plan on having a good time at school. Plan on having fun. Plan on enjoying yourself. Plan on rejoicing. Plan on being happy. The things that we're talking about does not mean that you can't be happy. They mean that you can be happy. And so let's get that in our minds. Verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now to the young men who sometimes think that we have to show how strong we are and to let our testosterone fly a little bit, don't be like the bullies at school that like to push people around. You don't have to prove to other people how strong you are by being mean, but let your gentleness be shown to all people. Are you prepared to do that? You will be different from all those other young men if you let your gentleness come through. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Young folks, are you praying about school? This is a big thing in your life. You, for the next several months, you've got these things, you're going to deal with that. You've got these teachers, you've got these classes, you've got these schoolmates, maybe you got a new school. Are you praying about it? Are you praying about it? And are you going to pray about it tomorrow morning and throughout the day? Or are you just going to leave God at home? Are you prepared? Have you made your mind up? Turn your Bible, well, let's stay right there, to verse 8. Second tip. Have your mind made up right now that you're going to have a godly, a holy, a spiritual focus. That you've made up your mind that it's going to be set upon the things that are good and right and holy and righteous and not on the sin that permeates throughout the school. Now that's going to be hard to do. I didn't say it's going to be easy. But you can do it. What does it say here? Keep your mind on this. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And young folks, have you set your mind to dwell on these things and not those other things of sin? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Not to be thinking of those sinful things that others are involved in, not to be casting your eyes on some things that are allowed to be in that school and to dwelling upon those things and thinking about those things, but to keep your mind on the good and honorable and holy and righteous and godly things. Have you made up your mind to do that? Turn your Bibles with me over to James chapter 3, and I want to talk about the tongue for just a moment. Because there's a lot of evil speech that goes on in school. And when I was growing up, at least it was against the rules, and if the teachers heard it, they usually did something about it, but now it's permitted too often. And it's joked about and winked at. But young folks, have you made up your mind about your speech and the words that you are going to use? In verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle a whole body as well. Now listen to me with this. The tongue, the Bible tells us, is the most difficult body member to control. Controlling our words and the things that we say are the most difficult thing to do. And I believe that, number one, because the Bible says, and number two, personal experience. I realize that. And so you're going to have to work very hard in speaking the right things and talking the right way and not using the bad words and get involved in listening and telling jokes that are inappropriate and be involved in coarse jesting and all these things like this. And you are the one that has to make up your mind and set the standard what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And this begins again on Monday. Have you made up your mind and are you prepared? Have you dedicated to yourself? Perhaps this is a good time to get another start. Perhaps you made some mistakes last year. You say, I'm not going to make those mistakes again. Perhaps you're involved in some things you've decided that are wrong. You're committed not to be involved in those things again. Have you decided already? I want to tell you something. If you've not made up your mind, come Monday, you're going to get run over. You're going to get run over. And listen, that's the way it is with everything in life. You know, I used to work at McDonald's. I was a manager at McDonald's. And when I went in, if I wasn't ready and if I wasn't prepared, when I got to work, I knew one thing, I was going to get killed. Because before you know it, all of a sudden you've got all these things and they attack you and you're ill-prepared to deal with it. They just kill you. If you're not prepared, that's what's going to happen starting Monday. But if you are prepared, doing the things God would have us to do, receiving the strength that He provides, you're not going to be killed. You're not going to be run over. You're going to rise above the sin and the adversity, all to the glory of God. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Have you thought about your words, paying attention to the things that you say? And have you made a commitment to yourself not to be like everybody else? Very quickly, a few other things I would like to throw out. Have you chosen Jesus to be your role model? Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Jesus Christ is the supreme example. We all walk in His steps. Jesus Christ is our role model as a Christian. A few years ago in Thomasville, Georgia, we were getting ready for a Friday night football game. And I ran the trash to the dumpster. I had the radio on, listening to the pregame done by the high school students. And one student was asked, "Who is your role model?" And this girl said, "Jesus Christ." And I was ashamed to have considered the fact that my answer would have been different. And it should not have been different. Who is your role model? And if you're asked the question, who is your role model? What are you going to say? Nobody laughed at the girl that said Jesus Christ. Nobody laughed. Nobody thought she was crazy or a wacko. But I tell you what, I wish I would have been at that very moment just like her. What are you going to say? Have you made the commitment? Jesus Christ is my role model. He's the one that I'm following. He's the one I'm looking up to. Not these others over here doing things that are wrong. Walking in the steps of Jesus, not on the steps of these people that are doing things that are wrong. And let me ask you something. If you're asked the question, who is your role model, do you have the guts to say Jesus Christ? And even if you're not asked, do you have the guts to live in such a way where everyone else can tell? Prepare your minds. Be ready. Make your decision in advance. Decide what kind of friends you'll have. Have you thought about that? You know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You know that scripture. You've memorized that scripture. Have you decided? Have you made up your mind? Have you committed to yourself and to God? Have you prayed about it? That I will have no friends if I can't have a good friend. They may not go to church, they may not be a Christian, but at the very least, they're a good, moral person. At the very least. Have you made that commitment? Have you prepared yourself? One last one. Have you decided to be a light? We talked about this recently. We talked about the fact a couple of weeks ago that as you go to school, there is darkness all around. It's everywhere. Could you imagine going to a school that was totally dark? No lights at all? everybody was trying to find out where things were and you couldn't see anything at all, wouldn't it be terrible? Spiritually, that's what you're going into. So one high school I was talking about, there are four lights in the whole high school. Four lights. You are one of the lights. Have you made up your mind? I'm going to be a light. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be the one person in my class or maybe in my whole school that is showing the way to heaven. I'm going to be it. And I want us to be reminded of our responsibility as we do that from Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And we talk about the fact that people are going to try to get you to put your light out. They're going to try to get you to hide it. They're going to try to get you to cover it up. They're going to do whatever they can do because darkness hates the light. But have you made up your mind? Are you prepared right now to let your light shine no matter what? Because Jesus is your role model, not all these other people over here trying to get you to put it out. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you committed to walk as children of light? Verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And have you made that commitment? And those of you who have been in school long enough, you know the things that other people are going to be doing and what they're going to be participating in and what they're going to try to get you to participate in. You already know that. You know what you're going to be faced with. You know the pressure is going to be there. Have you made up your mind? Are you committed? Are you prepared? Have you prepared your mind? Have you made those decisions and are you committed to them? Well, in a way, I guess all of you, in a sense, have. You're a Christian, you're faithful to the Lord, you make that decision every day. But I want you to think about it. I want you to make it again. Be prepared. Well, that's the end of my lesson, but I thought it would be a very good thing if we ended this lesson with a prayer. Just for the young people. A couple of them started school a day or two ago, a couple of days ago, the end of last week, and probably about all the rest starting this week. And so I want to do that. And I asked Jerry Flatt if he would to come up and to lead us in prayer just for you. Thank you, Jerry, for a very beautiful and thoughtful prayer. Young folks, I'm proud of you. I know last year you had a good year. And we heard great and wonderful things about you and the great influence you had in your communities and in your schools. And I tell you, for those students that you'll be around who don't believe in Jesus or those who are not Christians, they are in need of a spiritual role model. As we sing the old song, "We are the world's Bible," you are their spiritual role model because they don't know Jesus to follow in the steps of Jesus. And I know you're a great impact in their life. Look forward to hearing about those wonderful things and seeing those wonderful things again throughout another year. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. Is that number 283? In the chorus, the question is asked, are you ready for that day to come? Speaking of the judgment day. And for all of us to be ready for the judgment day, we have to be ready to live faithfully today, and we have to be ready to face tomorrow. And that's really what we've been talking about. Whatever stage in life you're at, you have to be ready for today. Be ready to wake up and face tomorrow. And doing that, faithful to the Lord, we will be ready to stand before Him in judgment. Not in a fearful type of way, because love casts out all fear. But loving God and confident in that day because we faithfully served Him in this life. If you're not a Christian tonight and you would like that great joy, as a Christian, as you go day to day, leading others to the Lord, ready for that day to come, the judgment day, we would like to help you. If we can help you in any way, I want you to step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.